Blog Talk Radio.
Alright. This one goes out to all lovers in the house. You know what I'm saying? You gonna express my feelings right about now on the way I like to do things. See y'all. Bring it in.
Excuse me, ACC style, Atlantic Coast Conference style. First of all, I'm your host with the most, Scott Burks, and I am the creator of the sports blog, The Clown Times. This is, as I said earlier, the podcast version of the sports blog that you see online at www.theclowntimes.net. This is Clown spelled with K, by the way. You're able to find me on Facebook. Just do a search in the upper left-hand corner search box. Just type in The Clown Times, so you'll be able to find me there as well. Basically, this is going to be, like I said earlier, this, you know, the college football playoff standings have just come out. And being that we all know that for those of you listeners from podcast past, that I went to North Carolina State University, a ACC school, go Pack. Even though I want to argue that I'm used to losing, but at any rate, I'm going here to discuss what's transpired so far in the Atlantic Coast Conference? Working is going behind the scenes. Yes. Speak with me about that. You've heard him on this podcast before during the ACC preview in the summer, and he's back for some more fun. This is Jeff Fan. Of course, I'm biased because I'm the ACC guy. The All Sports Discussion for the ACC blog. You can find him on on the web. He'll give up his URL later. So, Jeff, thanks again for joining me. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, Scott.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, with this, well, first of all, let's just get to this. Like, the ACC has had crazy finishes the last couple of weeks in regards to special teams play. And that's and we're not even going to throw what happened at Michigan, you know, between Michigan State and Michigan. But, you know, from Florida State having that block field goal return for a touchdown that essentially all but knocked them out of the playoff discussion, at least for now anyway. And
right.
Miami doing this eight lateral thing on Duke, on something on the lateral that shouldn't have counted, by the way, but that's another story. But What's going on with the Atlantic Coast Conference? All these crazy finishes. Are we going to be in store for another crazy finish? Is it like between Clemson and Florida State or Duke and Carolina that will throw more chaos to the ACC hierarchy?
Yeah, I don't. I think those two plays are. You know, you could go 4 or 5 years and not see two endings. You know, like that. You might go a decade and not see two things, two finishes like that in a conference. So I'd say the odds are pretty low of it happening again. It's just funny because of the, you know, the Georgia Tech block was a very non-controversial play, a great play that I'm not sure if it was Lance or Lawrence Austin, the two twins at Georgia Tech. But one of the awesome trends, I think it was Lance, you know, made the great return.
It was Lance,
and,
right.
Yeah, and such a, you know, huge win for Georgia Tech, and, you know, in a season for them that's been pretty disappointing. Like you said, you know, for the moment, knock Florida State out of the champion, I mean, out of the playoff chase. And then you get the Miami-Duke finish, and, you know, the play itself was a great finish, but there was so much controversy surrounding it. It overtook it, you know, what happened on the field.
Right. Right. And I'll tell you what, though. That Miami-Duke game, I mean, sure, people bloviate on the fact that Duke got screwed and all this blah, blah, stuff, which technically they did because, again, I think – I forget the name of the kid's name from Miami, but his knee hit the ground before he lateraled the ball. That shouldn't have counted.
Mm-hmm.
And they mistakenly picked up the flag for several blocks in the back on that play, and they claimed that they didn't use replay to fix that. I believe that when I see pigs fly. But Miami got hosed. One could argue that Miami got hosed the entire game. They got called for 23 penalties, 23 to Duke's 5. And that last drive that Duke had, you had pass interference penalty after pass interference penalty after pass interference penalty. And did Thomas Cirque get in on that quarterback sneak for a touchdown to put him up by 3 momentarily? I mean, it was just horrible officiating all the way around. And I didn't think that John Swofford did enough in terms of punishing those knuckleheads on the field that put on a clown show from an officiating standpoint. I thought they should be banned for good, at least for the rest of the season. But how about all this talk? Because Mike Greenberg, Mike and Mike said that Duke should be awarded a victory, which, you know, I think is silly, but I mean, it is what it is. But do you think that Commissioner Swofford didn't do enough? I mean, should he even just declare the game like a glorified mistrial as if it didn't happen and maybe restore Duke's, I don't know, chances in the coastal division? I mean, what's the you and all this madness, basically?
Well, you know, I agree with what you said about the game, and I'm glad you framed it the way that you did, because it wasn't just that final play where there was a lot of controversy.
Yeah.
The whole game was a complete officiating, you know, debacle. Just like you said, you know, the penalties were 23 to, I think Duke had maybe 5, and Miami had almost 200 yards in penalty yardage. The pass interferences on 3 times on that final drive for Duke. You know, I think one of them was pretty obvious, but the other two were controversial. And then the most controversial play, like you said, was did Cirque get in at the goal line for Duke? There was never a definitive replay angle to see it, and ESPN, you kind of glossed over it, saying he's in. I was like, man, Miami fans are going to be irate. And then, of course, the final play where it did look like his knee was down, and then there was multiple violations, maybe with a couple blocks in the back. You know, like you said, the ACC doesn't, you know, in their bylaws, they're not going to overturn a game once it's over, nor should they. When the game is over,
right,
it's over. I mean, and you can't define it, even if it's on the final play of the game, if there's a wrong call, it's just going to open a complete Pandora's box of every single call, you know, someone coming back and saying it affected the outcome of the game. So they definitely should not have overturned it. They did the right thing there. A couple of national media folks I saw even suggested that Miami should forfeit the game and award Duke with the
That's
game.
Silly.
That's ridiculous.
Yes,
That's ridiculous too. You know, Miami absolutely should not do that. But what you said about what could the ACC do, and then I think I'm going to, you know, put this down in one of my blog articles, because I was thinking about it. You know, what can they do? You know, they can't overturning the result is ridiculous. You know, they can ban the officials a couple games or even for the rest of the season. But I think what one of the things the ACC could do is they can kind of overhaul their whole way they manage officiating. I think they do like off-season clinics for their officiating.
Right.
But the ACC has a pretty bad reputation with their officiating. You know, I think them and the Pac-12 pretty much get the most universal criticism from outside viewers. And I think, you know, if they kind of set up something and made it more transparent about, hey, we're going to take what's happening on the field now really serious. I'm sure they did before, but now you have to kind of be more public about it, more transparent, and saying these are the steps we're going to take to improve, you know, officiating in this conference. We're going to overhaul how we do replays. We're going to overhaul how we train our officials. You know, I don't know, maybe they can do something. They can add another official to the field or position them different. I mean, with such a play like in Miami, you know, you've got whatever the number of officials that were out there. I'm kind of escaping exactly how many were out there, but it's hard to cover 100, you know, yards of a field with the ball going back and forth. So what I would like to see in the next couple of weeks is them to come out with a statement about how they're going to overhaul officiating in the conference. I think that'd be a start, not just to kind of suspend this crew, because there's been other poor officiated games in the ACC that have caused controversy. This just happened to be the worst example of it.
Right. And that's the thing. I mean, stuff happens. You know what I mean? I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, Miami and, well, both Duke and Miami, for that matter, are not the first teams cultural to be royally screwed up by the officiating. I mean, check out the fifth down controversy of years past between Colorado and Missouri back in Cordell Stewart days, and the Big Eight. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, stuff happens. I mean, hell, go ahead.
I was about to say, you know, Georgia Tech fans do not have fond memories of the fifth down play with Missouri. They, you know, they had to split the national title with Colorado that year, and they shouldn't
have.
That's
right. That's right. I almost forgot about that. 1990, I remember that. That was much debated. But, there's several plays, there's several games. And I was going to say, even that famed, like, return between Cal and Stanford in the early 80s arguably should not count. I mean, there's so many things, so many referee officiating blunders that have cost teams games, but I mean, it is what it is. I mean, it's just a human element. No one can do anything about that mess. I will say this. It's made that in the Georgia Tech Florida State game has made the ACC seem more exciting and put a more shine a bigger light on what was arguably a dismal ACC football season, because, I mean, to me, it's the conference was worse in terms of quality than it were last year and the year before last. I would say Florida State's national championship run was the best the conference had looked in a very long time, because you had several teams in the top 10. Like three or four teams in the top 10, five hovering around the top 15 at one point. But, I mean, with Florida State losing, albeit on a fluky play, but still losing to Georgia Tech, and with the College Football Playoff rankings coming out, the only two ACC teams ranked, they didn't give Carolina any love at all. And, you know, now it seems that even though Clemson's the top dog in the College Football Playoff rankings, we'll go more about the College Football Playoff rankings in the ACC in a bit, but I want to ask you, what's your assessment with going to like the last three games of the regular season? What's your assessment of the Atlantic Coast Conference to this point?
In the playoff case or over the course of the whole season?
Just the whole season first. The whole season.
I mean, considering how the season started, I think it's actually a little bit better than what it could be. I think the year started, you know, the ACC didn't have anyone in position for the playoffs. I mean, we had Clemson. I think they started the year around 10 or 11 or 12, and Florida State was 8 or 9, but they didn't have a team that even started anywhere near the top four.
Right.
So I think from that standpoint, you know, we've had Clemson assert themselves. They got to number one here in the first playoff rankings. That was good. Florida State, for the most part, outside of the loss to Georgia Tech, even though they haven't looked great, you know, they're still a top 20 team. Georgia Tech has been a huge disappointment this season. And then, like you said, with the finishes the last 2 weeks, and a lot of people will say, you know, there's no such thing as bad publicity. Even bad publicity is good. And you know, the ACC has been kind of front and center with these wild finishes the last 2 weeks. And there's still some opportunity, you know, for some really compelling games at the end of the year. We look at North Carolina. They didn't make the rankings this week, but I'm pretty sure they're just, like, right outside of the rankings. They're ranked in the AP in the coaches' poll. They've won seven games in a row. And I do think they're the best team in the Coastal. And I feel like they're going to get to the ACC championship game with 10 wins. And if they're a 10-win team, they'll be ranked in that poll, though.
Right.
They probably won't be that high. I mean, you know, in contention for a playoff spot. But if they're 10-2, they'll probably be around 15, which if Florida State or Clemson is still hanging around the playoff position, I think they'll play a credible North Carolina team. So, like you said, this was not going to be the best year in ACC football. They definitely made some gains from over 4 or 5 years ago, but it kind of turned out not to be as bad as what it could have been. I mean, if Clemson loses to Notre Dame, then the ACC wouldn't have any team anywhere in the playoff conversation at all. So it could be a lot worse.
Yeah, it's true. It could be always a lot worse. It's a good saying. And I guess we could probably, this is a college football playoff conversation now. I mean, the thing is that it looks to be that. Well, first of all, let's look at Carolina for a minute. Carolina, to your point, could easily go 10-1. Their favorite in the remaining games of the season, even at Votech, even at they host Miami, they host Duke, which will be a huge contest. And I feel whoever wins that game will win that Coastal Division, in my opinion. And they'll beat my beloved NC State. State can't play defense all of a sudden, but be that as it may, I'm trying to figure out how in the hell did UNC lose to South Carolina? How did they lose to South Carolina to begin the season? I mean, we could say what else all day long, but we should be looking at an undefeated UNC Tar Heel team right now. I still don't know for life me how in the hell they lost to South Carolina to begin the season. I just don't. Don't know how that happened.
I remember watching that game, and we knew coming into that game that South Carolina was not good. They've proven not to be a good team at all. That, you know, Sir Spurrier retires in the middle of the season, and I'm sure that Larry Fedora looks back on that game with a lot of regret. You know, if they just Marquise Williams doesn't throw, you know, a couple interceptions in the red zone, and he hands it off to Elijah Wood to finish off the game.
Yes.
They probably win that game by a couple of touchdowns. And, you know, they could be the ACC version of Iowa this year. They'd probably be ranked at around 9 or 10. So, they probably look back on that loss with a lot of regret. But to their credit, they've, I felt like North Carolina could get off to a really fast start this year. I thought they had a chance to be 7-1, but I thought they had to beat South Carolina, and I thought they would lose to Georgia Tech. To their credit, they put that early loss behind them, and they are becoming a pretty good team, especially on offense with Marquise Williams, with Elijah Wood, with Switzer out on the edge, and Quinshon Davis at wide receiver. I mean, they have some talent on that offense, and the defense has really come along under Gene Chizik.
Yes, it has. Yes, it has. Gene Chizik should be the best acquisition of any hiring of any college team in the country this year. I mean, talk about night and day from last season, which the defense was absolutely a train wreck last year. I mean, giving us 70 points to ECU, East Carolina, that still won't get that in my memory. But to your point,
if Larry Fedora lost that game early in the year, by the way, you know, not handing the ball off to Elijah Hood, who had well over 100 yards rushing, South Carolina had no answer for him on defense. And yet, he wanted to make Marquise Williams the hero, which he clearly did not play. That was one of his worst games, probably the worst game of the season for him. But to his credit, too, Marquise bounced back, you know, the young man playing good football, and Fedora, remember they had a running game, star running back.
Right.
And he's defeating him the rock, which is good for Carolina and possibly good for Clemson or Florida State, because if Carolina keeps winning and they creep up to a 15 ranking or maybe outside the top 10, that makes whether it's Clemson or Florida State, I think it's for the record, but Clemson, mm-hmm. their resume look that much better, even though they have by far the best win this season, which was Notre Dame. But
right.
it seems like even outside of that, I think Florida State, I think it's, if they do beat Clemson, I don't think they will, but if they do beat Clemson and if they do work against Florida at the end of the season, it depends on how the other conference champions shake out. If anyone has more than one loss, Florida State may have a shot to be back in it.
Yeah, I don't think that's out of the question. I think somebody pointed out that Ohio State, when they released their first rankings, was in that 15-16 range too when they made the playoffs. And Florida State definitely had some opportunities down the stretch, to move up in the rankings. Right now, Clemson is ranked number one. Florida State is 16. They go to Death Valley and they beat Clemson. They're probably moving up at least six or seven spots, you know, to that 9 or 10 range. Then they get Florida, and that game I think is on the road too. You win there, that's your SEC East champion. I think they've already locked that up. You know, barring a total collapse, but I think they've already locked it up. You go and win there, and you're probably sitting around five or six and playing probably a 10-win North Carolina team. You go there and maybe play an outstanding game, maybe win it like 35-10, really impressed. I think Florida State's got a long road ahead of them, but I don't think it's out of the question that they can get back into it because they still have – several marquee games left, and that's what gives them a chance. If they had already had played Clemson or Clemson wasn't a ranked team and Florida State was still struggling like they had been the past few years, I think they wouldn't have really almost any chance. I don't think they're quite out of it because, the Georgia Tech loss is going to look ugly on their resume, no question about it. But, Ohio State was able to recover after losing a 2-touchdown game to a pretty poor Virginia Tech team last year too.
Right.
And so I don't think Florida State is all the way out of it. They got a long road ahead of them, but I don't think they're completely out of it.
Right. And I agree with you. Again, playing the what if game. What if Golson's pass was in the end zone, was intended and intercepted? What if came with the points of that drive and that would render that field goal attempt moot.
Right.
What if, again, going back to Carolina, what if Larry Fedora didn't coach with his head in his ass and give the ball to Elijah Hood and ends up beating down South Carolina the way they should have? I mean, it would be just like the Big Ten right now. You have three undefeated teams, right? Two, one division, one the other division, and, with a clear path to possibly a top 10 ranking, and all would be right in the world. But me personally, even with the perceived disrespect the committee is giving the ACC at this point, I would say that it's pretty much justified, outside of maybe not including North Carolina. I think it's pretty justified given the performances of most of the teams in the conference this season. But, the season's not over. I mean, I still think Pitt is a good story on the first year of coach Pat Narduzzi. I think that even though Duke got horribly screwed over, I think Duke's been pretty good story as well. I mean, Duke was predicted to finish near the bottom of their own division. And Clemson has by far exceeded everyone's expectations, including yours truly. I could have sworn it would be Florida State's division all over again, but that's looking not to be the case right now. And, you know, Clemson to be able to have by far the best win of the season by now, that we're being up a top five Notre Dame team in the college football playoff rankings. And Notre Dame is looking great. So the better Notre Dame does to finish the season, the better Clemson's win is. And, you know, and again, Florida State's not quite out of it yet, but I think this coming Saturday, they'll be out of it for good. I don't think they're beating Clemson on the road. And, you know, this is pretty much going to come down to Clemson's going to do work the rest of the year. And if so, then they shouldn't have a problem keeping the top spot and making the college football playoff.
Right, and I think the committee even showed already in their first ranking that they'll forgive a loss if you look really good in other games. I mean, they already put Alabama at the number four position, even though they have a home loss to an Ole Miss team that got smashed by Memphis. They had a five turnover game against Ole Miss, and they really haven't beaten anybody. You know, I mean, if they beat LSU, I would say, okay, yeah, that's a top four team, but they really don't have any strong wins. I know they beat Georgia, but we saw how they've collapsed. Texas A&M Georgia's terrible, and Texas A&M was overrated when they play them.
Right.
So Alabama doesn't really have any high quality wins, but just because of the way they've looked pretty dominant in some of those games, they got the benefit of the doubt, and that's why I think that they're willing to look past a loss if you
right.
can put the marquee wins on that resume. And that's something that, you know, you look at what they did with Baylor and TCU with their lack of really strong out-of-conference wins, you know, they kind of punished them. Even though they're both undefeated, they don't have any – especially Baylor hasn't played anyone out-of-conference, and Florida State gets that chance when they play at Florida later this year.
Yeah, that should be fun to watch. I'll get you out here on this one last bit. I'm sure you heard about the ACC network being possibly delayed by ESPN due to the cost-cutting measures. And, you know, they already had to lay off, maybe ESPN had to lay off 300 employees. And it could be more coming because I guess people are moving to the a la carte or just doing the whole online thing. Quite a few administrators, like the one in Georgia, went to Georgia Tech, are afraid they're going to fall further behind the other Power Four leagues financially, and a lot of them are mad that ESPN is dragging its feet, and seemingly they don't want to go into it. I think I have my own theories, but I want to hear yours first. Why do you think ESPN is dragging their feet? What do you think is going on behind the scenes with that?
Well, I think the television landscape had changed so rapidly, and you know, like you said, they've had recent layoffs. They've probably really overpaid for some of these rights that they had. You know, I think they really overpaid for the NFL is one of the things that they were saying. So, and they just launched the SEC network a couple of years ago. So I think once the negotiations got really deep into discussion, you know, ESPN starts looking at their numbers and saying, well, this might not be something we want to start, you know, just yet, because everything is changing so rapidly. We don't want to get into a money-losing venture here, because they've had other ventures that really didn't pan out. The SEC network, you know, went off great. It did great. That was unmitigated. That was a huge success, but the Longhorn Network has been really, you know, they haven't been able to get carriage, and that's been a really disappointing venture for ESPN. The Pac-12 Network is still struggling to get carriers going. The Big Ten Network is successful now, but it took several years before it became profitable. And I think that's what got ESPN concerned right now. And I think for the ACC, it's not so much a concern about falling behind so far with the Big 12 and the Pac-12, because they, even Pac-12, you'll see writers of theirs, they're concerned because they're falling behind their network is not profitable. It makes a small profit, but they're still struggling to get carriers. It's really become the Big Two. You got the SEC and the Big Ten. Those are like your financial, you know, juggernauts when it comes to revenue. And you got the other three, you know, struggling to keep up. And the ACC is in that boat with the Big 12 and the Pac-12, trying to figure out ways to you know, generate revenue. The news, there's no way you can sugarcoat it and say, oh, it's not a big deal. That was not good news to hear, with so many people expecting it to start in 2017. And in my opinion, this is something that John Swofford has to find a way around. And this comes almost the same with the officiating. You know, it's time for him to be more transparent about what's going on. He likes to keep things close to the vest, not to be too public. And I'm 100% positive he did not want that information to be released, you know, through the Georgia Tech president at that time. And there's absolutely no way he anticipated that information getting out. And David Teal of the Daily Press, who's one of the ACC writers that I really respect, he does a great job. He wrote a blog article. Yeah, he's really good. And he wrote an article, you know, after they contacted Swofford, he said, oh, that's premature, it's speculative. At the end of his blog article, he said, you know, it's time for Swofford to make some definitive statements about what the plan is going to be. And that's I don't have such a big problem that the network is going to be delayed as much as I want to hear what the plan is going to be. And I'm sure that, you know, the administrators and the leaders of the ACC member schools want to hear it too. You know, not just like a handful of like the president, you know, the people who are big boosters to these universities want to know what's the plan going to be now. You know, Mr. Swofford.
Right. You're a ninja. You're a great ninja. Bringing in Syracuse, Pitt, getting those, the grant of rights, which really was when the ACC was nearly on his deathbed. You know, he did all that in his normal clandestine way. But it's time to him to just to put up a shove at this point, just say, I mean, they really need him to be a leader. I mean, he is a great leader. I mean, I can't do his job, obviously, but he needs to come up with a plan and say, yo, this is what we're going to do, and make it known to the media, the ACC, the media who covers the ACC. But check out this theory, and now I'll give you a very quick theory, and I promise I'll let you go. With Notre Dame sitting in this back pocket, you know, as a quasi-member in football, and, you know, they're with NBC, right? They'd be the Irish or with NBC. And I think the ESPN is going to try and bid for the Big Ten to get the Big Ten network, to carry the Big Ten network when it's time for negotiations with the Big Ten and Fox. And I think, this is what I think. I think ESPN is holding out for those negotiations with the Big Ten. I think that's why. The ACC network is being placed in the back burner, because if ESPN goes with that, and I know ESPN has a contract with the ACC that goes through, 2026, 2027? I think if that were to happen, though, I think the ACC will start looking for another carrier, a la Fox Sports. I'm just putting it out there. And perhaps NBC Sports, if they really work on Notre Dame behind the scenes to bring them into the fold in football as well. So I think it all hinges on what ESPN does with the Big Ten. Is what I'm getting.
Yeah,
I think that's why they're holding out.
That's a great point, because even if the ACC network were going to start up in 2017, as what many of us thought, those Big Ten, their television contract renewal is coming up next year, even before that. So I mean, that's definitely a valid point that ESPN might be looking at. Well, how much are we going to put into the Big Ten, and, you know, how much is that going to leave us, you know, to work on the ACC, or do they lose out on the Big Ten, or do they go, you know, all in to try to get as much Big Ten content as they can? So I definitely think that definitely could play a factor. I think you're 100% right about that. I think that is probably one of the factors too that's figuring in on ESPN, because they can't. And that goes back to the other stuff with the fees for the NFL and some of the others. They can't just jump in with every conference paying at the highest amount, because that's just not going to make financial sense to them.
Right.
So
right.
They're probably trying to see how the Big Ten is going to play out first, and that's probably part of it.
Well, I think, you know, that the ACC, if that's the given scenario, I think they kind of screwed themselves in a long contract deal to have ESPN, because they can't jump ship, right? They can't jump ship to, like, Fox Sports or even NBC Sports if they feel that ESPN is, like, letting them hang out a little bit, hang out to dry. So, I mean, it's tough, but we'll see. But I just think that's the dangers of signing a long-term contract with any entity. You know, you don't have much room to negotiate.
Yeah, they're definitely going to be joined at the hip for ESPN for the duration of that contract, which I think runs through 2026 or 2027. But, you know, like we've been saying. I think Swofford can put a lot of, you know, frustration at ease and a lot of the nervousness at ease if he just kind of puts some transparency into what the plan is going to be. And he doesn't have to do it next week. But if they just come out with something, any kind of definitive statement or plan in the next few months, I think people will say, okay, well, all right, if the network is planned for 2019 and we're going to do X, Y, and Z until then, I think people are going to be okay with it. It's when you get that information that kind of sneaks in unexpected, and it's not, you know, it's that kind of bad news, and then he's kind of caught – you know, with these vague statements about it being speculative and premature, that's what kind of can frustrate people. So,
right. Yeah. He needs to just come out and just come with it. You know what I mean? And just put all everything to rest and just get a plan.
Yeah. So more,
that's all we want. Just a plan.
Exactly. So more transparency with the officiating and more transparency with the, you know, the network and television plan would, I think that'd be a great start for the ACC.
Right. We'll go from there. Hey, Jeff, thanks a lot, buddy. I really appreciate the insight. Let's do it again soon.
Okay, thanks for having me. Enjoyed it.
All right, cool. All right, that's my man, Jeffrey Pham from All Sports Discussion ACC blog. Check him out. So it's one of those things where I just think that, you know, John Swofford should come and become more transparent as far as AC Network goes. Well, as far as the and this question with the college football playoff, all I have to say is, as long as Clemson wins out, the ACC has nothing to worry about as far as representation in the college football playoffs. That's all they have to do, just put up a shot. Well, that's about it. I'm going to go and check out, go for ACC to the MAC, go to Illinois and Toledo on television. But for now, thank you for tuning in to the Clown Hour. This is Scott Burks, sending y'all a good old fashioned 06. And then good night.